whenever I take off my pants and just put in there, like, she, like, sleeps in my pants.
Welcome to episode 126 of Uncore Gamers. I'm Dan.
And I'm Charlie.
And there's no Jeff this week because he's out being a loving husband. The jerk.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, this whole, you know, 14th here, you know, it's just, it's overrated, you know? It's
yeah.
Like, come on. Let's get on the radio.
You know. It's not the radio anymore, Charlie. It's the internet.
Oh, let's get on the internet here. Okay. All right. Let's get up to speed here.
All right. All right. So all you Bungie Destiny fanboys. Okay, I'm kind of excited for this too. A little bit. You know, yeah. I want to see. I'm tentatively excited. But Activision has confirmed that Destiny 2 is still on track for a 2017 release.
Wow. So yeah, I got into that game, you know, kind of briefly. I mean, I could, you know, it was pretty fun at first. Let me see.
But you never played it, Major.
Well,
that was your problem.
Yeah, I played a couple times, and I was like the follower, oh, we're gonna go into this cave, like, okay, wait up, guys, I'm right behind you guys. Wait, can I get some of that loot too? You know, I was basically
everybody gets their own loot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You want to play? You want to play? I'll play with you, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'll jump in and play that.
All right.
But so what would you like to see in the sequel? Like, what you thought was missing from the first one? Well, maybe not missing, but adding. Yeah.
Well, more of a story.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna say. I like to see more of a story, and kind of like, I want to see a system where you don't just kind of just repeat the same areas over and over and over. I mean, I know that was kind of part of it, but
yeah. I mean, it's kind of the MMO grind. Once you get to the top level, you're trying to get that gear. I think the problem they have with the gear, though, in this current edition, especially since, like, I think the Taken King expansion, even possibly a little bit before that, they introduced, obviously, they had the randomness of the loot you got, right?
Yeah, the random loot, yeah.
But then they added an extra layer of the random loot also had random stats.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, you want the best version of that best gun you wanted,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you gotta keep doing it again and again and again.
And
then, and it's fake extension of the game. You're not really playing more game because there's more gameplay. You're just playing more game because they don't give you the hell you want.
Yeah,
want it.
So it's like here. Let me just replay this area 50 times until like the random generated loot comes out right.
Yeah.
To what I'm looking for. But
which I think one thing they can do to help fix that. Is I mean, just go back to MMOs and like World of Warcraft and stuff like that. They have a system when you get to the raids and stuff like that. Particularly, really, when you get to the raids, they have a system where an item will pop up.
Yeah.
And anybody opens up a chest, an item will pop up, and you can say you need it or you greet it, right?
If
you
need it,
it puts you into a special pool of people that are rolling for need it, and greet is kind of like, I want it, so if nobody else needs it.
Roll
for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically, whoever puts need it will, they'll basically, the game will roll a dice for them.
And whoever gets
the highest number gets the item.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, it would be nice because, you know, let's say the Hawkmoon, right? It was a big gun people were trying to get.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know people that didn't have the gun, like two or three people didn't have the gun.
Yeah.
We had this one guy that got like four of them already.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't need four of them.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
They do the same thing. Just let him either trade it with somebody or just let it a little need system.
Yeah,
I need that one. Like, let me.
I'm trying to remember, like, how deep was I? Like, was there, like, a trading system? Here, I'll trade you, like, my weapons. There was no trading system.
There was no trading system, as far as I can
remember. Well, what do you think of that? Could that be a good thing? Or is that, like, I don't know. Or would that be, like, more. It's like you might have, like, a friend, like, play the game like every day and like he just starts passing out things to other people.
Yeah, that's a trick. Yeah. That's a trick with it, right? It's like
you'll get people cool.
It's cool to a point, but yeah, then you get people just like, oh yeah, or you get new people that will join the game and like some level 100 guy will just pop in and just drop a bunch of stuff here new have fun.
Or people like in certain parts of the world will actually do this as for money.
Yeah.
At a business like,
which is actually a thing that kind of happened in Diablo 2. They wouldn't necessarily do it for money, but they would do it for they would say like, oh, I'll speed run you through a hell version of the game, right? I forget what it was, up to the Soul Forge. That's what it is. Soul Forge. Because when you get to the Soul Forge, you have the gem, you break it open, you get a bunch of random rubies and emeralds and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And like they would be their prize for it, because you can get a lot of like high quality versions of the item by doing that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, whenever a new game comes out, like you know, Destiny or whatever comes out, sometimes for me it's always interesting to see, okay, what are going to be those exploits at the beginning? You know, those glitches where people can just, like, what were some of the more memorable ones? What was, like, the big loot one? The loot cave.
This one cave, everybody just stand outside of it, mobs would just keep popping down, they would just keep shooting it, because sometimes purples would drop.
Oh, yeah.
People would just spend days there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm always interested to see like what happens like the first week or two, you know, in a big game like that.
Yeah, at least Destiny ran though for the first week.
I think the first
day or two there were some hiccups.
Yeah,
but they got that fixed pretty quick, and you know some games would just not run for the first like week or two.
You know, I mean, I still don't know. Did they get Master Chief Collection going 100% ever? Did it?
I think they did.
It must have by now, right?
Yeah, I feel like they did. Again, not the Xbox guy.
Yeah,
you're more the Xbox guy. We were supposed to have an Xbox guy here today, but he hasn't gotten back to me. Maybe he'll show up.
Yeah, we'll see, yeah. But, yeah, things like that. You know, we I hope those kind of things don't happen, but I think, the Bungie team and, you know, they have it a little more together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not trying to push the game out to sell a system.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was kind of the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah.
And I think another thing I'd like to see in a Destiny sequel is, again, taking from MMOs and stuff like that. I mean, you would get armor sets in Destiny. Like, you would have your, from doing the raid, you'd have your set for doing the raid and stuff like that. It would kind of get you to the next level, but it didn't necessarily make you much better than anybody else, per se.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
But I really want those sets to really mean something.
Yeah,
a lot more than they did in original Destiny. Like, yeah, you know, that's if you look at, like, again, World of Warcraft, the MMO I had probably the most experience with.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see people walking around with those sets, and you're like, oh, shit, this guy's a badass.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it really meant something to get those.
Yeah, like, whereas in Destiny, like, everybody had them. Like, they weren't that crazy to get.
It was more just, oh, this guy put in the time to get to it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's the same in World of Warcraft, but like, I don't want this for Destiny, because I think it's ridiculous, but you know, when the raid takes like 20 hours to do or something like that, you know, you see a guy decked out in like all the armor from that like raid for their class or whatever, you're like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And they look cool too, like they're big and showboaty and like flashy and stuff like that, and they'll give you like little effects. And like the Destiny armor would... kind of look cool. Sometimes it would look cool. Like one of the classes might have a cool looking armor set, but like they wouldn't stay cool either, because as soon as the new DLC came out, you just replace it with any garbage that you would find.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
like they should come up with a way to be able to upgrade the raid armors to the new levels when they do a DLC or something like that.
Oh, that's right.
So if you really like the way that looked, or really like the aesthetic, or the perks it gives you, you can still take that with you.
They can still keep it. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, they have been doing that actually with the last couple expansions, where you can, like destroy old stuff to get that higher level
to
boost the level of the other newer stuff. But I think that only like applied to the newer stuff. I don't remember if they retroactively added it to the older stuff.
Yeah. Well, I had an idea. What I kind of wanted to see, you know, part ways in maybe the, you know, the PlayStation version of Destiny 2, but hearing you talk about like the 20-hour raids, I was like, well, at first I thought, you know, I'd like to see a VR mode, you know, like a little bit, you know, but I'm not sure. What was your opinion? You think that could take off, or like, or raids could, or you know, different modes in the game could take a little too long to have a VR mode, right? Huh?
Or I don't know how they would implement it, really.
Yeah,
I mean, like, it could take off. I just don't see what the selling point of it would be, besides it being kind of fun and cool or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, it's already first person, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. I always keep in my mind, like, I want to see those, you know, AAA titles have, you know, VR modes. Because I haven't bought my VR yet. I'm a PlayStation kind of type of person. Well, PlayStation and Xbox. I have both, but I'm still looking for those, you know, AAA titles to get me to grab that. You know, but
well, anyways, Resident Evil 7.
No. Yeah, that's true.
You
yeah.
get that yet?
You know, I haven't got that game yet.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Go buy it. Yeah. Once we're done, you just sit down and play.
Yeah, that's
it.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Then I can finally make Jeff feel sad.
Oh.
Yeah. Because he can't play it. Oh, my tummy's all sick.
and then you know, he has to do the, I'm not sure what they would call it in the options, but he couldn't do, like, the smooth motion in the VR.
He couldn't do the smooth motion.
He had to do, like, the 30-degree turns.
No, not even, it was, like, 10-degree turns.
Oh, 10-degree turns? Oh, okay.
Even still, he said he was still feeling sick.
Oh, wow.
But he played for, like, an extra hour or something like that, so.
Oh, okay, so he did get into it.
Like 2 hours of VR, it's not that bad anyway.
Yeah.
I think too, like, the more you do it, the more your brain starts to get used to the concept, like, okay, yeah, he's putting this thing on my head, I know what this means.
Yeah, that's true.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
We'll just right. evolve to not get carsick ever again. That would be the best evolution ever, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the worst thing is, like, I don't really get car sick unless I'm, just looking down, reading something, and then the car starts to move. Right. And then I'll just be like, and it's not like it lasts forever, it's just like a couple seconds, I'll be like, huh? Like that. I mean, it's even happened to me while I'm looking at my phone walking.
Oh, really? Walking?
Walking, and then, like, someone will walk in front of me, it'll just, like...
Throw you off?
Yeah, a little thing, but...
If I read in a car for too long, and this includes reading road signs or like reading maps.
Oh,
spend too much time reading in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get car sick, and I'll be sick until I get out, like half an hour after I get out of the car.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Another time I'll get car sick is if I'm in the back seat. Obviously I'm not driving. I don't get car sick. I mean, drivers don't usually get car sick, right? The driver doesn't.
Not that I've heard of. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. And I'm usually the driver all the time, but anyways, yeah.
I wonder why that is. I wonder if there's, like, the seats constructed a little bit differently.
Well, I think it's, you know where you're going, your brain doesn't get tricked.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Because you know you're going to take a turn.
You know you're going to take a turn and this and that, and yeah, I guess probably that.
I wonder if I get, like, a fake wheel on the passenger, like, you know, the
class. Yeah.
And you just mimic the turns, if that'll trick you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of times I'll see people in the passenger side. It's like they're reaching for the brake pedal. I'm like, you don't have pedals over there.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to crash, so just trust me. You know?
I think it's not reaching for the brake pedal. I think it's just a spasm of fear and bracing themselves.
Yeah.
Which that is also not a good thing to do if you're going to crash.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right.
Moving on, Humble Bundle. Mm-hmm. The people that give you great Humble Bundles and also sell you games with Steam copies. Comic book bundles, book bundles, any type of thing you can bundle, they bundle it.
Oh, nice.
They're becoming a publisher, and then you're going to publish a couple games.
Oh, wow.
Let me pull up the list here. So far, they are going to be publishing A Hat in Time, Hacky Zack, Inkenfell, Keyboard Sports, No Truce with the Furries, Furries.
Close your ears, kitties. We got a couple cats in here. No, don't look at me like that, furries.
Don't worry, we're not going to yiff you. Scorn and Staxel. All these coming to the PC with Hacky Zack confirmed to come to the Xbox One.
Oh, nice.
But that's a pretty chunk of games to be publishing out of announcement. Like, here's...
Yeah.
Let me see, 6-7 games.
Uh-huh.
I was like, hey, we're going to publish games. Here's 7 games we're going
to
publish.
Oh, nice. Is this happen to be the one where the proceeds actually go to charities?
Yeah, like most of the time when you buy a bundle, they'll say, like, all right, how much do you want to give us of, like, however much you're paying, right? You can choose to pay as much as you want.
Yeah.
Here's how much you're paying. How much goes to us? How much goes to the developers of the content you're buying?
Oh, okay.
And how much goes to charity? You get to scale it.
Oh, you can. Oh, wow.
That's cool. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
I usually go mostly for charity and stuff like that. Get a little cut, get developers to cut, stuff like that. But
yeah.
So yeah, publishing games, which is I mean, they're going big, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the next step. Like, all right, we sell the games. Now
we're gonna make them.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, publish them. Yeah. Publishing isn't creating, but yeah. Anyways, yeah.
Also, Humble Bundle has a Humble Bundle going on right now that's pretty freaking huge.
Oh.
Now, usually, their bundles have, like, a price range, right? You spend this much, you get this much of this bundle. You spend more, you get this much more, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This bundle is a flat $30.
Oh, uh-huh.
So you don't get... Oh, I have a new bundle. You don't get to choose how much of a bundle you want. It's called the Freedom Bundle.
Uh-huh.
It's a flat $30. Oh, wow. They're actually selling out of... Apparently, they're selling out some of the
games. Oh, they're selling out as we talk. Wow, okay.
I didn't even know they could do that.
Huh.
But they have, like, it's just a huge amount of games.
Oh, uh-huh.
A huge amount of games. They're selling it for $30.
Yeah.
And 100% of the proceeds are going to go to the charities they've selected.
Oh, nice.
Those charities are the ACLU, American uh-huh. Civil Liberties Union, Médecins Sans Frontières, the Doctors Without Borders, and International Rescue Committee.
Oh, there you go.
Now, obviously, these are all ACLU is pretty big in the news right now because of the travel bans and stuff like that. And, like,
yeah.
People being scared of being deported and stuff like that. ACLU is one of the companies you can go to for support and advice on what you should do and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Doctors Without Borders, because it's kind of, you kind of have to support Doctors Without Borders these days, you know?
Yeah.
And this one I've never heard of before, the International Rescue Committee. Mm-hmm. I assume that probably has something also to do with the border situations and, like, travel, abroad travel and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, $30. A lot of games for PC. Some good games, too, actually.
Oh, nice.
They have The Witness, if you're into puzzle games. It's a very, very
huge
puzzle
game
that came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, there's Subnautica, they're sold out. Stardew Valley was pretty huge.
Uh-huh.
Nuclear Throne, Octodad, Super Meat Boy, Stanley Parable, VVVV.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Guacamelee, Super Turbo Championship Edition, Swapper, 30 Flights of Loving.
Oh, Swapper too, huh? There
you go. Yeah, Swapper's in there. There's other great ones in here too. Song of the Deep, Hot Tin Roof. There's a lot of games in that bundle.
Yeah. I don't know. Everything you've mentioned sound pretty good so far. But they're selling out already, huh? What it sounds like?
It's like they're selling out of their Steam keys for some of the games.
Oh, okay.
Which actually, I've never even seen that happen before, so this bundle must be doing really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving on, South Park, The Fractured Butthole, has been delayed.
Oh, wow. For how long? was original...
A week.
Huh?
Let's see, it's good. They're, Ubisoft is going to release it for the next fiscal year.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, their fiscal year runs from April 1st until March 31st of next year. So, I don't think there's an official release date yet, but we're probably not going to see it at least until April.
Until April of next year. Oh, of this year.
Yeah.
Oh, so still
that's
April.
When, that's when their year starts, right? So they want it for the next year. Because they obviously know it's going to sell well.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Did you play the first one?
Yeah, I played the first one. I thought it was pretty good.
You excited for this one? This bum you out?
You mean the... does the delay bum you? Well, not really. I mean, how much is it actually being delayed for? Possibly. I mean, when was the original date?
I don't know. Maybe... Yeah, I guess... Yeah, probably not that long, right? February, March? Something like that, probably?
Yeah, I mean...
If it's April. If they release it as early as April.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
An official date.
Yeah, that's right. But, yeah, I mean, like to see it. I had fun with the first one.
God damn it, computer.
Did you ever play that? Did you ever play the first one?
Played a little bit. I can't just sit down and play it whenever I want, you know, because of all the language and stuff like that. There's sensitive ears.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
What I did get to play, it was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, basically, it is like that. You could say that game is a season of South Park.
Yeah.
It has
all the callbacks, pretty much. You know,
yeah.
You can ever think of. Actually, yeah. I kind of stopped playing it for a bit because I was trying to watch all the seasons of South Park I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
I didn't want to miss any of the jokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I kind of stopped watching it for a bit because of that.
Nice, yeah. So, yeah, so answer is I'm not too bummed, but, you know, I thought I heard it was even going to come out later than that. I thought it was going to be for maybe holiday this year. I didn't know how close it was, but yeah.
Well, I guess it's faster because they made the first one, so they got most of the hard stuff out of the way, making the engine and everything.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Now, here's something that I am super excited about. Yeah. If it's good. God, please let it be good. Netflix is coming out with an animated series of Castlevania.
There you go. Yep, it sounds great to me too.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's more gothic inspired, like the original Castlevania, rather than the last couple of DS games, the Aria, Sorrow, and Dawn Sorrow. Were good games. Don't get me wrong, but they were anime-ish. They're a little too anime. I want more just super gothic, dark.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like the, you know, the gothic feel. I want to get into a deep story, develop the flesh, really flesh out the characters. Mm-hmm. I hope it's not just like an action cartoon with imagine bad sounding subs. I know it's not coming from Japan, but
yeah,
you kind of get my idea what I'm trying to say about them.
I don't even know what I want, like a deep story from a Castlevania game. Like, I don't even know how they would do that. I guess maybe if they had it focused kind of on Alucard, maybe, or something that.
Well, I mean, it definitely doesn't have to be a real deep story, but I just want strong characters. Mm. That'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, I would be happy with a quality of level of an anime that you might have seen because of my brother. Demon Hunter Shinjuku?
Sounds familiar, but...
It's a guy, the part of Tokyo is a demon hellhole or whatever, and the guy has basically has a lightsaber as a weapon.
You know, that sounds familiar. I can't say I've seen it, but I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, or... Yeah. I think something along... If it can kind of at least reach that level of storyline and action complexity and stuff like that, which is not a huge milestone to hit.
Yeah.
But if it can just be that decent, I think it'll do well.
Yeah.
I think I'll like it.
I'm just thinking about, I would like to see, really a very cold, very evil Dracula.
Mm.
Not an animalistic one, but I just want... I don't know how much more to describe it. I mean, how would you like to see some of the characters?
I don't even know what Belmont we would go with. I mean, it would have to be Belmont, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you got the guy from the actual Dracula book, the Morrises and stuff like that. That could actually be kind of interesting way to take it. They could take it from the point where the Morrises became the caretakers of the whip.
Have you ever
through the generations of them guarding the whip and stuff
They could kind of show over the generations what's going on. What have you heard from it so far? Are they going to kind of, is it going to be its totally own story, or is it going to, are they going to try to follow the game, the line of games, or what have you heard? Have you heard anything?
I doubt they're going to try to do the line of the games, because I feel like Konami with that last two Castlevania games, we need a reboot. That story's done. Mm, the Kojima era games are over. He didn't start it, but.
It'll be interesting to see.
It looks see like how that each pans episode out. Is going to run about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It looks like it is going to focus on the Belmont clan.
Oh, nice.
Okay, here we go. Here's some stuff. Uh-huh. As it follows the last surviving member of the disgraced Belmont clan trying to save Eastern Europe from extinction at the hand of Vlad Dracula Tepe.
Oh.
So maybe it is maybe it is a story that leads into the Morris clan and how they get the whip. Because that's what Dracula Bloodlines is and stuff like that. Is the Belmonts kind of disappear for a while.
Yeah.
And the Morris clans, they give the whip to the Morris clan until Belmont comes back into power, basically.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, it'd be...
Official lore, like Nintendo nerds. Yeah. Play your Sega Genesis Castlevania games. It's part of the real canon.
Yeah. For the real canon. Oh, that's just, I don't know. This kind of just reminds me of how people are actually hacking their NES minis and actually putting
RetroArch.
Yeah, RetroArch on there and putting like other systems on it. So they kind of, oh yeah, let's put some Sega Genesis games on this Nintendo thing. Let's Sega this thing out.
Now, do we know because of this? Do we know if it's as powerful as a Raspberry Pi 3? Can it run PlayStation 1 games?
Somebody brought up. I'm not sure what channel it is, but he brought up that it potentially could play PlayStation 1 games. But I'm not sure if anyone's really hacked in far enough to know the actual specs of it. But I do know I've heard the flash memory on there, I've heard it's approximately 300 megabytes.
Oh, wow. That's not very much at all.
Yeah, not too much. So yeah, I've heard, like, you know, putting RetroArch on there, they only got about 25 or 30 megabytes of space for games.
What's the point?
Yeah. No, well I mean, yeah. even Super Nintendo games, they're only 2 or 3 megabytes, so if someone wants to hack their old device and put on maybe 5 or 6 Super Nintendo games, you know, whatever.
Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy 2 and 3, Final Fantasy 4 and 6.
Yeah.
Stop the confusingness.
Yeah.
What is it? The Oasis game. And Secret of Mana. Super Mario RPG. I'm pretty sure Zelda games.
Yeah.
That's it. You're done.
Earthbound.
Earthbound.
Yeah. Something like that. But anyways, yeah. It's been interesting to see what... I'm curious to see how far people go with it.
It's pretty interesting, yeah. I wonder if people will start to add, like, extension things to it to boost it or something like that.
Yeah. Actually, solder on a USB drive. I mean, a socket.
I'm sure somebody is doing that, like, as we speak.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. E3 2017 is going to be open to the public for 249 people.
Wow.
249 people are able to buy tickets to be able to get to the E3 show floor.
Wow, there you go.
Actually, I got those numbers wrong. It's a lot more than that, actually.
Oh, is it?
Really? I was thinking of the price of it.
Oh, okay.
So 15,000 tickets.
Oh, 15,000 tickets, but it's $249.
Each. Except for the first 1,000 people got a discount of $149.
Oh.
I mean, it costs them $149. They got a $100 discount.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure that's already gone by now. I doubt that you can get that.
Oh, so yeah.
You're basically, if you're hearing this and you're just finding out about this and you really want to go, you're probably looking at $249.
$249. Oh, okay.
Now, keep in mind, though, a lot of developers in the past couple of years have kind of stopped going to E3.
Mm.
So that's probably why they're doing it, to kind of like get some more money and maybe bring more interest back to E3 from developers and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just so. Well, obviously, you know, regular gamers can come in, you know, and they'll be like, you know, they'll have that contact right with
straight with the developers.
Yeah,
and try out games. Because I mean, like E3 does, like, there's a lot of times where you'll be like, oh yeah, here's games coming out next year, but you can play it at E3. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because it's there for the investors and stuff like that too. You know, it is a business trade show.
Yeah. So the interest in E3 is slightly going down?
It's been going down.
It's been going down? Oh, okay.
I mean, like, I think Activision pulled out. I think Ubisoft didn't do a booth there last year.
Oh, wow.
You know, some pretty big developers are kind of like, not really. We're going to do our own show now.
So it's kind of going more that. Do you see it going more that direction? Like, just developers at some point of the year, probably around June, they'll just be doing their own separate shows. Not even really getting together, maybe. It could happen, I guess.
Yeah, it could happen. I don't think they do it, like, in June. I think they have their own, like, dates. So they don't have to share the limelight, you know?
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
so, like, here's today about all the cool stuff we're coming out with, and we don't care about what anybody else is coming out with.
Yeah, that's right.
And we don't want you to either. Please stop caring.
No. No, please... care. <Just kidding.
laughs> Valve, the proprietors of Steam, have stopped the Steam Greenlight program entirely. This was a program that you could use indie developers and stuff like that could say, like, hey, here's my game. People can vote. Like, oh, this game looks really cool. I want to see this game on Steam.
Yeah, yeah.
If you got enough votes, Steam would be like, all right, cool, you're on Steam.
We're on, yeah.
So that's done.
Oh, okay.
No more. They're gonna replace it with a service called Steam Direct.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Steam Direct is helping to fight the problem of crappy games ending up on Steam.
Oh, yeah.
Because anything was pretty much getting on Steam.
At yeah.
And this is now more of a... not that far off of what companies have already had in the past, from what I understand of it. But basically, developers are going to have to pony up a fee. Oh. They haven't come out with an official price line. It could be anywhere from $100 up to $5,000. Somewhere in that range, Valve's going to decide this is what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You pay that fee, and they're like, all right, cool. You can be on Steam now.
Hmm. Wow. I wonder if that's going to be a good system. Like, what's your opinion of that?
I mean, it's pushing out low-tier indie developers, especially if they make it too high. Like, it's not...
Uh-huh.
I doubt they're going to go 5,000, you know, and...
Yeah.
Even if they want, like, 2,000, if you're making the game, you're probably okay spending 2,000 to get your game on the biggest, like, distributor of game media. So, I mean, it's not...
So, they're not
asking too much. I still think it's not going to stop bad games from getting on there. It'll stop some of the really cheap bad games, but, I mean, like...
Yeah.
It's not going to stop Ubisoft from coming out with Raving Rabbids 7.
Yeah.
Putting it on Steam, which is still not going to be a great game.
Yeah, it's not going to be good, but, like, even for them, like, what's a $5,000 fee for Ubisoft?
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah. So, I don't know. To me, it kind of, like... kind of sounded like alarm bells in my mind, thinking like, what if there's like a one person developer trying to put things on there, and
Axiom
Verge,
the guy who made Axiom Verge, completely did it by himself.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, are they gonna want to, you know, hopefully it'll be as low as like the $100, you know, but what was the fee before? Was there
a fee before?
Oh, there wasn't a fee at all before.
It was a voter thing.
Oh, okay.
You get enough popularity, you get in.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which, you know, people would use it to scam. You know, you have famous YouTubers who were friends with developers of like crappy game or something like that. Like, oh, hey, why don't you go Steam vote up this game?
Vote this game,
And various other forms of like scamming. Like, oh, win a free PlayStation, just vote on this for Steam Greenlight.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, obviously led to a lot of problems, and actually the entire... companies, developers, got in a lot of problems. They were just like reusing assets from other games into their games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It got to that point, huh? Wow.
So, yeah, did they have to do something? Yeah. Is this the best approach? I don't know. But I don't know what else there is either.
Well, there has to be kind of like a certain level. Okay, if it is like, say, like, you know, Ubisoft going on there, you can turn the $5,000. But if it's like a guy, an indie guy who's not, you know, he doesn't have anything going, I mean, they have to have some kind of scale.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you know what might be interesting if they did a little bit of both, right?
Yeah.
Or let's say it's they put it at $5,000.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, but people can go vote to show that they have interest for it. And, like, they can hit certain, like, milestones of, like, feedback that will drop the price incrementally.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, like, if you had, like, a really cool indie game, and you're like, oh, I don't have $5,000, like, people would be like, no, I want to buy this game.
Yeah.
Like, Steam would be able to say, like, okay, yeah, there's interest for this game, let's make it easier for this guy to get on here.
Yeah, yeah. Or do you think, well, no, for, like, indie developers, do you think it would work like a little more sales lowers that fee? Or they'll, like, maybe get the feedback, okay. You sell a certain.
It's kind of what engines do. Like Unity engine does that. Like we'll give you the entire engine for free, and then once you make so much money, then we charge you for it.
Oh, okay. There I go. Yeah.
I think there's a couple of things that are doing that now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that could make sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean just.
But then again, how do you stop the trash from getting on there if you do that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there really is a way to completely stop it from getting on there.
Yeah, but I think trying to stem it, that they're trying. I think this is trying to stem it.
Yeah,
because if you keep open, then I mean, there's so many people making RPG Maker games where it's like, make a game in RPG Maker, put it on Steam as a game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's nothing wrong with that, right? It's a program to make RPGs.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not like you need to be as skilled as you used to have to be to
make a game. Yeah, to make a game, yeah, that's right. So, well, remains to be seen, see if it helps out there.
So there's a horror game called Perception. Mm-hmm. It's being made by Bioshock devs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's going to be coming to the Xbox One, PC, and PS4.
Hmm.
What do you think? You think the Bioshock guys can do a full-on horror game?
You know, I was just thinking, like, I really like their you know, character design and stuff, like from the, you know, Bioshock games and stuff. But you know, it remains to be seen. I'm not sure if they can do it. I mean, I guess it depends on like what kind of horror is it. Like, is it kind of like the really adultish, bloody, slaughtering kind of thing, or is it like the like shock value kind of ones? I would see them more doing that. I mean,
yeah, they do more of a shock value.
I mean, I don't see that team making very bloody game. I mean, what have you? What's the news on that game so far? What have you heard?
There's not too much. They just kind of really announced it, really. But I mean, like, if you think about Rapture, the very first game,
yeah,
and the setting, uh-huh, it was kind of creepy. You know, it was like the shadows and the lights and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I feel like they could do a good setting, a good horror game setting.
Uh-huh.
But as far as the actual gameplay, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it would be a little bit more action oriented or a little bit more, you know, clock tower survival oriented.
You know, now that you say that, I'm thinking the feeling of the game could be kind of like more like a little more slow moving kind of haunted kind of like ghostly kind of game instead of like a, you know, slasher, you know, kind of thing. More like a supernatural kind of thing. I see him doing more supernatural than slasher-ish type thing.
Like, I think that could be kind of good. I mean, I like horror games more when they kind of just, they're not action oriented, when they're more like, not even like jump scary,
but
when they just kind of like mess with your way of thinking about things, stuff like that.
Oh, psychological.
Yeah, the psychological ones. I think that's really good. It's also probably harder to do because you have to actually have a really good writer.
Yeah, that's true.
That can pull that off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think if they could do something like that, obviously, you know, if they have if they have the writer or anyone as good as the first Bioshock, you know, the great plot twist that that game had at the end, they might be able to pull off a pretty good psychological horror game.
I think that would
be pretty interesting. Like, you know, like, like the first couple Silent Hill games
were,
you know, they were horror games, but they really got more scary once you realized what the game was actually about.
That's right. Once you got the idea of what's going on, it was more, those games weren't shock value.
No, they weren't shock value. It's playing with the mind. The whole it's all about what's going on in the actual character's mind and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the first Silent Hill. I like some of those camera angles, like just right at the beginning of the game when you're kind of going through some of the alleyways. The
alleyways, and they're like right above you.
Yeah, and it would kind of like rock back and forth. I don't know. I like camera angles in games.
I think especially in horror games, they are the best.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, what does a good horror movie do? It limits your visibility.
Yeah, that's right.
So, like, if you're stuck with camera angles, you have limited visibility, which allows them to kind of do the scares as they want to and stuff like that. So they would be able to just kind of turn your camera around. Which, I mean, there's something to be said for that. Like, one of my favorite horror games is Fear.
Yeah.
And it's a first-person shooter with the heavy horror emphasis on it, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you can look around and stuff like that. And, like, the way they... I talked about this before, but the way they implemented that and like made sure you got scares and stuff like that, there was like a couple areas where you were kind of forced into the scare. Like there's no way you can kind of miss it.
Yeah, yeah.
Except some people did.
Oh, they did.
But they had a bunch of other scares. Like, like, you know, the big scares, like, you know, the main antagonist, Alma's like little girl, Ring, looks like from the Ring.
Yeah, from the Ring. Like, yes, right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And like they have a bunch of little instances where like she'll be in the background or like in the screen, but like you might not see that.
Yeah, that's right.
So you catch some of them and you're like, oh, that was creepy. Yeah. You go back and play it again, you see it somewhere else. Yeah, you see it somewhere else. Like, what the hell? I don't remember that the first time. There's a website that I saw that was like dedicated on trying to like capture, figure out where all the different areas that she pops in are. There's one that I probably would have never seen. There's a part where you meet like the other parts, members of your team, and they're like talking in this like kind of big hallway. There's like blood all over the floor and stuff like that. Because Alma's been there or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of like a little interactive cutscene, you know? You're just kind of standing there waiting for them to tell you what to do next while they're talking about all the stuff that's going on. And you're kind of looking around. This person's talking.
Yeah. But
if you look up, if you turn your camera up to look at the ceiling, which there's no reason why, the game doesn't give you any reason to do that.
Oh, to do that, yeah.
You'll see Alma kind of just walking on the roof.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Like, throughout the entire cutscene.
Oh, wow.
So, like, there's a bunch of, like, just a bunch of really cool stuff like that in there.
Yeah.
So they could do stuff like that. And I think that's kind of a fun way to do it, too, because it gives you kind of that inherent replay value of, like, every time you go back in there, like, I didn't see that last time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing I never think about for, like, a horror game. Like, having, you know, it doesn't have to be the entire game first-person view. I was thinking, like, if you have different instances where it's, you know, first-person, third-person, you know, top-down, different angles. Like, I don't know if is there many games where it's like the camera's facing you, facing your face, and you see behind you? I think that might be pretty interesting in a horror game.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're walking forward, you don't see forward, but you see behind you. It doesn't have to, you know, be a long time, but there could be scenes like that. Scenes
of it, yeah. But actually, I like that idea too, because it kind of, it plays with the horror trope of like being uncomfortable. If you're constantly changing
your
type of gameplay, it makes you, as a gamer, kind of uncomfortable. It's like, all right, I'm good at first-person shooters. Oh, this third person, like, I'm kind of clumsy with this third
person. Yeah,
yeah. Like, I can't get used to the game, kind of. Like, I can see some people being turned off by that, but I think that...
Yeah.
I think that would actually sell a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, having a... Yeah, just different scenes will be different. You know, instead of 100%, you know, like Resident Evil, like, they did the three-quarter view for a long time now. Resident Evil 7 doing, like, first-person... I think it'd be interesting to have different scenes where the camera is somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, even top-down some things. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, they need to get you on there, Charlie.
Yeah.
Because, that's total horror. Like, playing with the expected, making you feel uncomfortable and uneasy and stuff like that. And
yeah.
What better way than to make the gamer himself feel uneasy about controlling the character?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially, you know, you start hearing the music bumping up, and you're like in first person, and it just cuts you into like a different, like,
yeah, yeah,
like a completely different style of gameplay where you're not first person. You're like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, that's right.
And you have to like adjust yourself really quickly to the new gameplay, like as the thing's coming at you.
Whatever. Yeah, that's right. I think it'd be kind of interesting to actually be able to see more, like, say, like the facial expressions, like, of your own character. And like, it'll be, I don't know, it'll kind of put you more into it, I think, instead of, it's like, you know, like, that's you, like, wow, I'm walking down this hallway, my eyes are open like saucers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I just feel like it might get you, like, more into it, if you can kind of see your character's feelings more.
I see, yeah. You can see that.
In a way, yeah.
I definitely think that's better nowadays with the advancements in technology and stuff like that than it would have been in the past, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be pretty interesting. I'd be interested to see a game like that, where it's just kind of just like, it's a horror game, and it's just kind of like, we're just trying out all these new mechanics and like, throwing all this stuff at you, and like, I think that would do well, at least as a cult hit classic.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Food for thought. Street Fighter Turbo Super Switch Hyper Edition Ultra to the maximum.
Alpha 7. EX.
EX Alpha 7.
Minus Beta.
Rival Not Schools.
Plasma Sword 9. Yeah.
The new version coming to the Switch.
Uh-huh.
Has a special Switch mode.
Uh-huh.
First-person Hadouken mode.
Oh, yes. There you go. I mean, it just makes me think of, I don't know, I guess either they were, I would see them in the arcades, either they were hacks or just Hyper Edition, where it's like you could throw like several Hadoukens around. Hadouken, Hadouken, Hadouken. There'll be like seven or eight Hadoukens on the screen at once. I mean, imagine that in first person mode.
Yeah.
But my question is this, okay, first person Hadouken mode, is this like, this is it? It's one move? I mean, I'm hoping not. I mean, I would guess not, but does that kind of sound that way?
It's as far as we know. It's a translation. It says it's fire Hadouken, as in you're doing it.
Oh, okay.
As in you're using your Switch controllers to do little Hadoukens, because that's what you want to do in public during the tournament.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know what? I want to tape those controllers to my feet so I can do the whirlwind kick. You know, I mean somehow. I mean,
I want to do the Chun-Li kicks.
The Chun-Li kicks, yeah.
Now, apparently, the back of the box says first person POV full impact mode.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, it might not be like just the Hadoukens then.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Maybe not, but I don't know. You know the whole dragon punch thing, that would be another thing.
That would make some people puke.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, one thing I'm a little bit disappointed in that game is, like, you know, they make it sound like it's this brand new game. You know, what's the full name? Like, not New Challengers, but Final Challengers, or what is it?
It is literally a long one. Street Fighter 2 Super Hyper Turbo Edition Final Challenge or something like that.
I mean, but I mean, it makes it sound like, oh, new characters maybe? Like, that's the first thing I thought, like, oh, Final Challengers. Like, oh, they throwing in some new characters? And they're not, kind of, right?
They're not. I thought they might have been throwing in, what's her name? The one that appeared in Alpha 3.
Oh, Cammy? No.
No, not Cammy. You know, like the German girl, the golden locks. She's kind of like, she's in Street Fighter V right now, but I can't remember what her name is.
That's like Karen, right?
Karen.
Oh, it is Karen.
Yeah. Aren't they throwing her in?
You know, I'm not too sure, but
I'm not too sure either. I thought they might have been throwing like one or two, but like not new characters, kind of like people.
Yeah, yeah. Other games. Isn't there like at the beginning, it's just like Evil Ken and Evil Ryu or something like that?
Oh yeah, Evil Ken. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're throwing Evil Ken in there.
Yeah.
Because,
well,
why not?
Yeah. Can't he be evil too? I mean, Ryu did it.
Yeah. I thought he was supposed to be Saintly Ken or something. Like, there's supposed to be like a saint. Like it's Evil Ryu and kind of like Saintly Ken or something.
Oh,
like
okay. Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was kind of, if that's true, I think that's kind of interesting because everybody's like, oh, Ryu's a hero. Like, oh, maybe Ken is.
Maybe Ken is.
Maybe the American.
Yeah, here. Finally. Yeah, no. Finally, the good guy's here, huh?
Yeah. The blonde, long-haired, Ferrari-driving American who accepted Japanese culture into his life. Does,
yeah.
Unlike that other blonde American.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Business deals, though. All right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about the Oculus Rift and the whole possible stopping of their sales, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, I was thinking the latest case,
yeah,
being brought against them. This really could be the death of like one of the pillars of VR.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it'd be interesting to see if Facebook decides to try to revamp it and work around if it gets brought to light.
Mm-hmm.
But if they decide it's just like, you know, screw it, we don't care anymore, let's just drop it. I mean, it's kind of a big hit because Facebook is really rich and they kind of do throw their money around trying to add new stuff to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook, probably more than any of the other companies, probably would have been the first one to make VR a more social experience.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, Skype, why not do Skype in VR?
Yeah.
Or something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, they could have, added extra things into it. Not just gaming, right?
Yeah. I mean, probably the most likely company to do it. I mean, obviously they want to integrate it with Facebook. Facebook is all about social networking and stuff like that. That would make the most sense. But, I mean, they might not care. Obviously, the Rift is not the hottest seller of the VR already. The Vive kind of stole its thunder.
Oh, that's right.
PSVR is cheaper and more dedicated to games.
That's right, yeah. So, well, I mean, It might not be as, you know, as bad news as, you know, some people might think, but I think eventually probably another company might come up like is I mean, Samsung develops ones for cell phones, but are they also developing or have one for PC too?
No, I don't think so.
They don't.
Apparently, Xbox is reportedly going to get one with the Scorpio.
Oh, okay.
And Nintendo says they're looking into VR. As long as they can get rid of motion sickness, they'll do it.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
No, it's not going
to happen. You can't tailor that to everybody's...
Not to everybody, yeah. Yeah.
Biological system, but...
Yeah.
And seriously, who wants to play first person Mario? I mean, that's just going to make you puke.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Just all that jumping? No.
First person Zelda, that's the only thing you can do. First person Zelda.
Yeah.
And Metroid.
Yeah. Metroid, yeah.
Or F-Zero?
F-Zero would work too. Yeah.
They probably wouldn't feel as fast though.
Kirby? What do you think, Kirby?
I'd love things flying at my face.
Take a deep breath. Like
Open wide. Open wide. Something's going to fly at your face.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Does that have a sword? I don't know. It's in your mouth now.
Yeah.
Innovating the way you play. With the lights out.
Don't know. Nintendo are the innovators there. You know, so, you know, they might come up with their own type of VR. Who knows? We'll see.
They might come out with the Switch peripheral for the Kirby game. You put it in your mouth so you can really suck in.
Yeah. I mean, well, the king's a motion control, right? Maybe there'll be some other motions.
I really want to see what that HD rumble is. I want to see how much that changes the game.
I like to check that out too, yeah. I mean, the ice cubes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll see how that goes. Imagine how that can change the world of computer porn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because 2 months after that comes out, somebody's working on it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean,
and the reason it's only this 2 months after is the first 2 months is making it work with your computer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and the sky's the limit.
The sky's the limit with this one. Yeah,
we'll take VR to a whole new level. Man, I played this new VR horror game. It was awful. It was the scariest thing ever. Like, oh, what is it? Oh, it's just. Penis is flying at you, and you're trying to block them. You're
trying to block them.
Yep. You can feel each one with the HD rumble.
Oh, no.
It's completely terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just see how all those vibrations work, huh? Yeah.
I mean, Japan already has that covered in so many different ways.
In HD, I wonder what that H and what does that D stand for? All right.
Changing the way you play.
Yes, all right.
It's, do we want to talk more about the Rift at all, or?
Well, do you see like any possible replacement company would be like, oh, okay, we'll step in and do something, or do you think most companies are like too gun shy right now?
I don't know in the same level, right? Because Google's obviously doing their VR phone stuff. They've actually going to be releasing a patch that allows all phones to do like 3D VR stuff.
Oh, nice.
You know, obviously, if your phone can run it in the first place, but. So I'm not sure.
So will that be a workaround? Like if your phone doesn't have the gyroscope and that kind of thing, it still has to have
that,
right?
I think it still has to have the gyroscope, but I think it's like if it's not one of the Samsung 7 Google Daydream phones or whatever, you'll still be able to use it.
Mm.
But I don't know if Google would step out of the phone market right now and jump in and become like a full on third party developer of VR.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of Xbox. I mean, I can see Xbox, depending on who their partnership is with, because I'd always speculated that their partnership was with Rift, and if Rift's going in there and they're not doing their own VR,
yeah,
that could put that in jeopardy.
So how's the HoloLens going? I mean,
it seems to be going well.
Oh, is it? It is still going, is still planned and yeah, development and everything? Okay.
From what I can tell, yeah, it's still planned, still in development and stuff like that. I mean, they haven't talked too much about it because it's not anywhere closer to release. I don't know when it's going to release. I don't know what it's going to cost. There's not really any new news.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, they still show it around every once in a while. You'll see, like, an article of them showing it off somewhere, and people are still impressed with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it looks cool. I think...
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great... I want that portable.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want... Yeah. In my house, I want VR.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be able to put on and forget that there is an outside world.
Mm, yeah.
And just be... I want VR to not be a headset. I want it to be a helmet. Like, a bike helmet. Yeah. With sound and everything. Like, it all...
Yeah.
Completely blocks out the outside world. There's your helmet. Has a built-in microphone. That's what I want VR to be.
Yeah. Not like augmented reality glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the HoloLens, I want to be able to use that when I'm walking around.
Yeah, that's right.
If I want to find a place, I want a little map, I want a little Pac-Man bubbles showing me where I'm supposed to go.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
I want to be able to play, like, you know, if I wanted to get into, like, Airsoft or something like that, I want to be able to put on my little HoloLens and make it look like I'm in some, you know, whatever military setting that
I'm going to be, whatever. It's all about, like, the level of immersion. Mm-hmm. You want to go like probably at home, complete immersion. Maybe outside,
more outside, like I don't want to get hit by a car.
Yeah, yeah, like more like an augmented reality kind of thing.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty good.
Excuse me. Right, let's get to that Uncore Gamer's question of the week.
All right,
that was a real good one. The question was. What has been your favorite game manual? We did get a response on the Twitter. Let me read that out real quick.
Uh-huh.
This is from the Riddle Master saying, I don't have enough game manuals to have a favorite. Would a game art book count? If so, Elder Scrolls Online. We did get a response on the Facebook. Jeff, not being on the podcast this week, did not respond to either of the questions.
Oh, okay.
What the hell, man? What the hell? Because it's my question, that's why.
Okay. If it would have been his question, he would have, like, really thought out a couple paragraphs, maybe.
I wouldn't mind that. I'd read it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and Adam, too, Mr. Lamberson himself, writes in and says, Earthbound. I miss game manuals. We all miss game manuals.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What does I do? Yeah, you know, I was thinking about, you know, what manuals I would kind of like. I would say the I'm not really a fan of these games, but I do like the comedy and, you know, of the Grand Theft Auto manuals.
Oh, I haven't seen those manuals.
Oh yeah, they're pretty
tongue in cheek.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they're pretty fun. And I'm trying to think of maybe like some really older ones here, like that really comes to mind for old school. So how about you?
Go back to the old favorite. Because it's probably the game manual that really stuck out. That sticks in my mind is like, that was a really cool game manual. And that would be Lunar for the Sega CD.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I think the reason I liked it so much is because, like, you know, it would kind of show you that, like, you know, this is what this means, this is what that means. It would have, like, the artwork of, like, the character sometimes. Like, you know, it has a little...
Yeah.
The little Nog character, which is your sidekick, and sometimes it will have, like, artwork of that character. So, like,
For,
like, oh... The sleep effect, it would have, like, her sleeping or her paralyzed or something like that. And also, like, but when you get to the back, you know, RPG books are, like, kind of show you the inventory, like, some items you can get, right?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't, like, a picture of the game's item from the game, right? It was, like, somebody drew it out.
The item would look like. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And stuff, like, for each item. And I thought that was really cool. It was a little bit more immersive and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's pretty nice, yeah.
Because, you know, game manuals where it's just like, here's a picture from the game. Here's a picture from the game. It's kind of boring, right? But like,
yeah.
Had a little more thought put into it.
Yeah, that's right.
A little bit more presentation. I that kind of game manual.
Yeah, I used to, I remember, many years ago, when me and your older brother hung out a lot, we would get the magazines with all the, like, Street Fighter character moves.
Oh yeah,
and yeah, I really like those because there were it wasn't just I remember we got the Street Fighter Alpha 3 one where it wasn't just pictures from the game. There was like you know drawings of the characters and kind of showing it.
Yeah,
those are pretty good.
It's time for the next Encore Gamers question of the week. This is Valentine's Day, so let's do a theme appropriate one.
Uh huh.
What is the best video game romance? You can write this in or say it when you come in next week if you come in next week. But I think it's a good one. I think there's a lot of options for people to choose from.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm interested to see what people come up with.
I'll probably think on this one because I have a couple games in mind, but I'm not gonna just spout it out.
I mean, there's so many. I mean, RPGs alone.
Like
almost every RPG is a romance. I mean, Final Fantasy VII, one of the most famous romances of all.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, all those, like, Mass Effect and, like, The Witcher and all those, like, open, like, good or bad, have sex with whoever you want type of games. I mean, those are have romance built into them.
Oh, yeah.
They're basically... Yeah. They basically have dating sims built into them, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much, yeah. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. But anyway, thanks for showing up, Charlie. Thanks for helping out the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was great. Pretty fun.
Anytime. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember, you can catch us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/UncoreGamers. Follow us on the Facebook and on the Twitter at UncoreGamers. Tell your friends. Tell your lovers. Tell your dog's vet when you're having something poked up your dog's butt. Hey, Encore Gamers.